As part of our series Finding Home, we've been going to neighborhoods to see the transformations and housing challenges taking place. Today, we look at a powerful data tool to help figure out how to move people out of poverty. The neighborhood around Kilbourne Park in East Charlotte doesn't look so different than those that surround it. It has a couple apartment complexes and some wide streets lined with lots of small brick ranch-style homes, some tri-levels too, and big trees. Its affordability, many homes are priced around $200,000, attracted Tim McManus to the neighborhood 10 years ago.
It just kind of feels connected for a lot of those staple things like transportation to wherever you might work, some place to get outside, some space of your own that just is comforting.
But for people born to low-income parents, there is a difference. Those who grew up here in the 70s and 80s ended up making about $6,000 a year more than those living in neighborhoods just a few blocks away. How do we know this? The same way we know that Charlotte came in last of the country's 50 biggest cities in terms of economic mobility. Data meticulously compiled and mapped by researchers from Harvard, Brown, and the Census Bureau. Those maps showed a child's odds of escaping poverty on the city and regional level.
Which is interesting and I think shows some patterns that can be helpful.
That's David Williams, a policy director with the group formed by those researchers called Opportunity Insights.
But in terms of thinking about policy, it's probably not very helpful for us to say, hey, Charlotte, look at a place like Dubuque, Iowa, right?
So their latest project is a map of the U.S. that allows anyone to trace the roots of today's affluence and poverty right down to the neighborhood level. It involved crunching a lot of IRS and census data.
We're able to look at kids who were born in the late 1970s through the mid-80s and look at factors like race, the income of the families when they grew up, and gender, and then actually see their long-term outcomes in adulthood.
That way, they can form a picture of where children have the best shot at getting ahead. It includes, for example, data on income and incarceration and teen pregnancy rates. A digital map shows Charlotte in varying shades of red and blue. The shades of red indicating levels of low mobility encircle the blue affluent wedge of Southeast Charlotte. When you look at Charlotte this way, it confirms some assumptions and challenges others, says Brian Collier with Foundation for the Carolinas. The foundation has helped convene groups around economic mobility. He says the gradations are key.
When we started in this in 2013, what we knew was that mobility was bad in Charlotte. And basically, that painted with a broad brush. When you look at it at this level, it is very clear there are differences and variability across the community.
When you talk about that variability, I mean, how do you see that here in a way that you just could not see before?
Well, I think one of the things that this map kind of disabused me of a way that I have been thinking, a very simple way I've been thinking, is that if you're born in an area of affluence, that you are going to be mobile. And if you're born in an area of less affluence, that it's highly likely that you will be stuck in poverty. So what it's telling you is that we have to continuously challenge our urban myths about the city, about how people escape poverty, what it's like to live in an area of affluence, and how our community is divided up demographically.
How would it change if you looked specifically, right now this is all races, but if you broke it down to white or black in those neighborhoods?
So let me just do this. Let me just change and say low income, black, male and female. And so now what you see is much more variability. And in fact, you see some areas that would have popped up as highly affluent, you actually see lower than national average mobility rates. So if you look around Cotswold, down into South Charlotte, Lansdowne area, places like that, what I'm hypothesizing is that just because you're born in an area of higher income does not mean that you have access to all of the things in that community that would help you be mobile. And in fact, you may actually be cut off from them. And you certainly are not having the benefits of social capital, which is relationships and networks that help you move forward. The inverse of what I just told you about the areas of affluence, if you look across the crescent, you can see pockets of areas where kids are highly mobile in areas that might have shown up as less affluent. and we need to find out what's going on in those areas.
That neighborhood in East Charlotte surrounding Kilbourne Park is one of those that popped out to researchers. One thing that sets it apart, it's racially diverse. And that's a pattern they're seeing in areas where kids from low-income families are having better outcomes.
The real work that we have to do now is to go talk to people in those communities, to go really drive the streets, learning from them, finding out the history, because a lot of this is telling you a story that began a long time ago about community investments, about segregation, about people pushing one another apart in our community. It is Charlotte's history, and we have to really delve into that along with the idea of how do we move forward. We cannot do that without looking in the rearview mirror.
So right now you have a lot of questions and you have a few hypotheses. How long do you think it might take to start connecting some dots and understanding some things that the map brings up?
I think we're very close to using the map right now to inform some things around housing. That to me is like the low-hanging fruit, because what you can see here is you can see these wide variations in mobility in certain areas where perhaps land costs might be a little bit less right now. And so you can go out there and drive and figure out whether that's an area where you might want to target some housing or some other initiatives that are very close to community building and housing. So I think we're very close to doing that.
The Charlotte Housing Authority is already trying to do something like that with Section 8 vouchers. It's encouraging a few families with young children to try to rent in neighborhoods CHA has classified as moderate and high opportunity, and supplementing the vouchers to make that a possibility. Big data around economic mobility has become the talk of Charlotte leaders and groups trying to move families out of poverty.
Are you asking me to dream? Okay, so let me...
Please dream.
So let me dream for a minute.
That's Michael Duvall, Social Responsibility Officer for the YMCA of Greater Charlotte. There's access to a lot of data here, and there are efforts to consolidate and overlay the data on the Opportunity Atlas. We zoom in on the Wilmore neighborhood, just southwest of Uptown, and check out a long list of statistics.
I mean, these are all things that different organizations know probably independently, right? If you're aimed at teenage pregnancy, you're going to probably know that rate. I wouldn't know that.
That being the neighborhood's teen pregnancy rate is higher than 50%.
But now I have more information that says to me, well, all those girls that come in and those boys that come in that are teenagers, I probably need to partner with somebody who based on the rate, is talking about the responsibility of parenting at a very early age.
The Atlas was released in October, and community leaders are just beginning to try to understand how it could inform policy. Duvall says it would be a mistake to think of it only in terms of what's keeping people in poverty.
If you plot where are the assets, it's also a way to hold institutions accountable, right, for making it better.
What galvanized Charlotte as a city, that 50 out of 50 ranking, may help it improve with more precision.